May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn number 314, 314. How sore a plague is sin to those by whom 'tis felt. The Christian cries, unclean, unclean, e'en though released from guilt. Hymn 314.
Thank you. Let us read together from the sacred scriptures, the Word of God, reading from the book of Daniel, chapter 3. The third chapter in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live for ever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, Ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from a burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counsellors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of a fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counsellors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we come before him in prayer. Almighty and eternal Lord God, how great thou art, thy power, thy majesty, thy glory, thy dominion, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, the true God, the living God, the prayer hearing and prayer answering God. There is none like unto thee. The hymn writer penned, though his majesty be so great, yet his mercy is no less. O thou gracious, merciful, kind and blessed God, we do thank thee for this privilege of being enabled to gather together here in thy name, around thy word, to come to worship thee here tonight. May we know what true worship is. Oh, do work in our hearts. Draw forth out of our hearts that true worship. May we be true worshippers of a true God. And may thy presence be known and felt. May Jesus himself draw near and come with us and come and do us good. And Lord, we turn in from the busy scenes of life and all those things that have demanded our time, our attention, lawful things in the home, in the workplace, in education, matters to be attended to, perhaps of importance, of responsibility, all these pressing concerns that we have in our lives. But now we turn away from these things and we come before thee. And Lord, do drive out of our minds all that would interfere, distract and disturb. And may we be taken up with the things of God. Oh, do come and bless us here tonight. Lord, remember us, a little company gathered together, but in thy name. Oh, come, Lord, and command the blessing. How dependent we are upon thee. But we would see Jesus. Oh, for that eye of faith to look up, to see no man save Jesus only. And Lord, as thy sheep hear thy voice, we pray that we also may hear thy voice even tonight. Lord, come and communicate thy word by the power of thy Holy Spirit into our hearts. Oh, to receive tonight. Lord, send forth thy word in divine power, unction and authority to meet the need of each and every one. A word in season, a word from the Lord, a word of blessing, a word of encouragement, a word of confirmation, a word to strengthen, a word to support, a word to encourage, a word to direct, a word to guide, a word of leading. Lord, if need be, a word to rebuke, a word to chasten, a word to correct, a word to admonish. Lord, do come and cause thy word to go forth this night, and may we not be hearers only, but doers also, walking out our religion, or where there's grace in our hearts, to walk in thy ways. O Lord, to be submissive to thy will, to put our whole trust in thee, to confide in thee, to wait only upon thee. O Lord, who grant us much grace. We do live in a very wicked, evil, degenerate society and people. Oh, to be found in that word, and who maketh thee to differ? And may it be the grace of God to make us to differ. Nothing but thy almighty grace. Oh, to find grace in thy sight. But oh, how we need to be kept. Oh, kept from the spirit of this world. Kept from the ways of sin. Oh Lord, and we cannot keep ourselves, no, not for a moment. But oh, be pleased to keep us. And keep us close to thee. Dependent upon thee. Oh, to cast all our care upon thee, and to prove thy loving, tender care even unto us. Remember each one gathered here tonight, and those also who listen in, those who would be here if they could. Lord, remember each one in all their various concerns, in their pathway, their circumstances, those in trouble and trials, difficulties, afflictions, those who may be struggling, those who have problems, matters too hard for them. Oh, help them to look to thee, to pour out their hearts unto thee. Lord, remember each and every one, and how great thou art to attend to every case, to supply every need, to bless each soul. May something be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. May it be good for us to be here. Oh, may there be a blessing tonight. Lord, send none empty away. But, oh, Lord, bless each soul. And do remember any in particular need, pressing urgent need. Oh, those who feel to be at their wits' end, at the ends of the earth. Those who know not what to do, oh, may they also look to thee. We bear before thee this cause of truth, and maintain it as a cause of truth, where the truth is preached, the truth is known, the truth is loved, and the truth is jealously guarded. And oh, work mightily in their midst, thou Spirit of truth, that they may prove here that thy Spirit remaineth. Oh, for those evidences of thy Spirit's work within and without. Lord, let thy work appear. Oh, bless the ministry of thy word here, and grant the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Help thy servants who come from time to time, and may they come with that word from the Lord. We would especially remember before thee one who had engaged to come this coming Lord's Day, but has been laid aside in this affliction, and now unable to come. And Lord, we would be truly thankful as we understand this affliction is not as great as had initially been feared, but all still he's afflicted, still he's laid aside. And be pleased to grant a sanctifying, healing, restoring mercies unto him, and remember him. Lord, so help the officers of the church here, perhaps more reading services, and all that it means. Oh, grant all needed grace and wisdom, and direct them in the choice of the sermons to read. Oh, Lord, how it manifests a great need for others to be sent forth to preach, but men sent of God, equipped by the Holy Ghost. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, but sent of God? And, O Lord, where there may be those around with this exercise, O do bring that time when they must go and show themselves unto Israel. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. So Lord, again, bless this cause of truth. Remember each one from the youngest to the eldest. And may there yet be others brought in by the Holy Spirit to worship thee here. And do remember Zion. Oh, remember the churches. Remember all thy people, others also in affliction and weakness, those in fiery trials, in great temptations, in very difficult circumstances. And we pray for thy people worldwide and those who suffer much, hostility, oppression, being threatened, attacked, persecuted. Lord, undertake. And, oh Lord, be that wall of fire round about them. And how thankful we should be for the liberties that we enjoy, our freedom of worship, that we might gather together in thy name. Or we would be truly thankful. And yet, Lord, we are concerned in the days in which we live. Those dark clouds are gathering thick and fast, and we have our concerns for the future. But help us to look to thee and grant us that same faith as Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all to stand fast, all to worship only thee. Lord, have mercy upon our nation. We would be thankful for the ingathering of another harvest. But oh, as a nation, we have fallen from the ways of God. We have turned aside, a nation destroying itself. Oh, stem the great tide of sin and iniquity, overrule in all things, and raise up to high office such who love and fear thy name. Oh, that Daniel and his three friends were not the king, had not that position and power as such, but oh, how they were so greatly used and raised up of God and defended. Oh, who can tell that there might be such even in our nation. Lord, we look to thee. So we would be thankful for every blessing and favour, all thy goodness and kindness. And do hear our poor prayer. Make up in giving where we have come short and failed in our asking. But hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive, and help us through this service, and afterward take us each back to our homes in peace and safety, with a blessing. We ask all in that worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake alone we ask. Amen.
Hymn number 385. 385. Hear, gracious God, a sinner's cry, for I have nowhere else to fly. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. Hymn 385.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention to a word that you'll find in Psalm 50, the 50th Psalm, and verse 15. Psalm 50 and verse 15, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Psalm 50, verse 15, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." First of all, who is speaking such a word? Such a word of promise. The psalm begins, "The mighty God, even the Lord, have spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof." The Lord has spoken. And what an exceeding great promise we have set before us here tonight. One of those exceeding and precious promises that the Lord speaks unto his people. And perhaps what makes it so precious, the Lord doesn't speak of any specific trouble. Whatever the trouble is, "And call upon me in the day of trouble." And this promise, not "I can deliver thee," not "I should deliver thee," not "I am able to deliver thee," is emphatic. One of these divine "I wills." "I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." What a wonderful promise. Now, do we not prove that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward? We don't need go looking for trouble, do we? In our lives, our pathways, our situations, our circumstances, oh, we soon come into trouble. Various troubles, pressing troubles. It may be like the apostle, troubled on every side. Sometimes they're very deep and intense troubles. All these various troubles that we have. But oh, what a promise. "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Further, by way of introduction, I feel led to make a few remarks from a word you find in the second epistle to the Corinthians and chapter 1. We have the apostle speaking there, "Who hath delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and in whom we trust he will yet deliver." Who hath delivered us from so great a death? What is that so great a death? There can be no greater death than spiritual death. "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." But all that quickening power of Almighty God, the power of his resurrection to give spiritual life. Now, what a deliverance. "Who hath delivered us from so great a death." And Jesus taught, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And no soul can work it into themselves to be born again. It is a work of God, the Holy Ghost, to quicken that soul into spiritual life. Many a child of God longs for those sweet, blessed confirmations of that spiritual life. Oh, that great fear of having a name to live and yet to be dead. To be almost, but not altogether, a Christian. To have a form of religion but deny the power of his resurrection. Or to be likened to those foolish virgins having a lamp of profession, but no oil of possession in their hearts, no grace in their hearts. They were so near and yet so far. Show me some token, Lord, for good. Some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. Of those three evidences of being born again. In nature, when a tiny baby is born, often the evidence is that little cry. And really it is just a very little weak cry. But how powerful. How powerful is as a sweet evidence of life. And in that little cry, it's a cry of need. It's a cry of need. Or that little babe, it doesn't know much at all. But it has a need. And it has a little voice. And it has a little cry. And a little cry which will not be ignored. A little cry which is heard. A little cry which will bring help. So it is spiritually. Or that little cry from the heart, that little cry Godward. Because the Holy Spirit causes that soul to cry unto God, if he will, to call upon God. Saul of Tarsus said many, many prayers, but he never prayed. He was very solemn. He was full of religion. Indeed, I'm sure he was proud of his religion and perhaps would stand in the uppermost places in the synagogue, perhaps even in a temple and at the street corners with the other Pharisees to be seen of men, to be heard of men, but no desire to be heard of God. But when he was quickened by the Holy Spirit, and initially for him, that was a day of trouble. Oh, a day of great trouble. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And one can imagine him going to that place of abode before Ananias came to him. He would have been in the language of that hymn that you were just singing. O God, be merciful to me, was his cry. He longed to obtain God's mercy. He knew himself as a sinner. Oh, and to a guilty sinner, one is in trouble. And that's what we call soul trouble. Whatever providential trouble you may be in tonight, however deep, however pressing, however upsetting, however distressing, there's no comparison to soul trouble. The day of death will put to an end all the troubles of this life. But what of your soul? What of your never dying soul? And hell really is a place of eternal trouble, from which there will be no deliverance. And oh, a guilty sinner. But as it was with Saul of Tarsus, that testimony from heaven, for behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. Now he's been taught to pray. Now he's been taught to cry unto God. Now he's been taught to call upon the Lord. Now he's a poor, needy soul. He's no longer a Pharisee. He's like the publican. He's been emptied, he's been stripped, he's been humbled, he's been brought right down, that the Lord might raise him up. But oh, who hath delivered us from so great a death? And the apostle would look back to that time with such thankfulness that the Lord called him by his grace and did not leave him to continue in that mere possession of religion, but without God, or without any real spirit of prayer, indeed without the Holy Ghost, without the Spirit of Christ, that he was called by grace, and that evidence that, behold, he prayeth. The Lord will teach his people to pray. Now, I would not deny that with many of the Lord's people, the beginnings may be more providential. In providential troubles and providential afflictions, providential concerns, or that soul may be taught to pray, taught to cry unto God. But every child of God will be taught their need concerning their never dying soul, and that need of God's mercy and the salvation of their never dying soul, and to be found in that word, "And you hath he quickened." Quickened by his almighty power, who hath delivered us from so great a death. The blessings of prayer. Indeed, the privilege of prayer. When you really think of it, that we poor sinners may approach the holy majesty of God, to come before him with our petitions, our requests, our various needs. And yes, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You will notice the following psalm. And it was a day of trouble to David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was in trouble. He greatly sinned against God. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight. But Lord, have mercy." Oh, do we know what it is to cry unto God for mercy and call upon me in the day of trouble? Oh, guilty sinner, troubled soul, burdened soul. Oh, you may be under that temptation that there will be no mercy for you, no salvation for you. You may be under that temptation not to pray, to Satan tempt thee to give up, to call no more on Jesus' name. You dear seeking souls, you burdened souls, you longing souls, the promise here, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee." Of the impossibility of one delivering themselves. Again, spiritually, that no soul can deliver themselves. Oh, for any power of sin, the power of the wicked one. "But I will deliver thee." You think of that woman who was so bowed down she could in no wise lift up herself, had been in that condition 18 long, wearisome years. I'm sure she had been calling upon God. And Jesus spake that it was Satan who bound her all those years. She could in no wise lift up herself. I believe there are many dear souls, spiritually just the same, fearing to presume. Oh, may we never ever be left to presume. But may the Lord grant us that faith. What a fearful thing it is just to presume that we're born again, presume that we're Christians, presume that we're numbered amongst the Lord's living family. Oh, the Lord grant us faith to look to him. And that dear woman, though so bowed down, could in no wise lift up herself, could in no wise deliver herself. Yet she would be found in the temple. She would be found worshipping God. Oh, many a dear soul, they keep turning to the scriptures. They keep trying to call upon God. They keep coming to the house of God under the sound of a ministry in humble hope that there might be a blessing. And perhaps week by week, it's disappointment. And you still feel to be bowed down. In the opening hymn, how long, dear Lord, how long? Deliverance must I seek and fight with foes so very strong, myself so very weak. And how strong Satan is. And in the sovereignty of God, and there must have been teaching, there must have been instruction for that woman in those 18 years being humbled, being brought right down. And the Lord's purpose is that she had to continue so long. And yet there would be that day of deliverance. That day would come. She would not seek in vain. She would not hope in vain. But the Lord had that set time. That set time of deliverance. And to you here tonight, longing for deliverance, struggling. Oh, that you can in no wise lift up yourselves, and yet would hope in the mercy of God. Oh, you long for that gospel liberty. Oh, you long for that year of release. You long to be made sure. You long for the Lord to reveal himself unto you. Ah, still call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. And when Jesus saw her, the Lord Jesus had seen her those 18 years. Oh, the omniscient God who knew all about her. But now that set time. Oh, that set time to favour her, that set time to deliver her. And when Jesus saw her, he called her unto himself. May the Lord yet call poor sinners unto himself. And though she was so bowed down, though she was so oppressed, though she was so troubled, yet the Lord drew her unto himself. She came unto him. Oh, she came unto him just as she was, a poor woman, a needy soul. And Jesus laid his hands upon her and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And immediately she was raised up and glorify God and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Yes, I see a connection with what we tried to speak from on Monday. Go again seven times. There with Elijah, he had and Mount Carmel, the fire from heaven, an immediate answer of prayer. But then praying for the rain, the promised rain. Oh, it's go again seven times. That continuation, that continual call upon me in the day of trouble. Yes, the day of trouble may be long. How long? How long? According to the purposes of God. And that day of trouble to a child of God will be sanctified. It will be for their good, because all things work together for good. Yes, even a day of trouble. But oh, how the Lord will teach his people to call upon him. Call upon me. How prone we are to call upon man. Call upon an arm of flesh. For counsel, for advice, for help, even for comfort, for deliverance. The language here is very specific. It's call upon me. Call upon me. The Lord brings his people into such troubles that only he can deliver. He may use means. He may use man. He may not. He is sovereign. But the promise here is, I will deliver thee. To believe that God is able to deliver. It's really why I felt led to read that chapter in Daniel concerning those three men. What faith they were given. That they were strong in faith, giving glory to God. It may have been like Elijah, they weren't always strong in faith. Remember how Elijah then fled from Jezebel and ran for his life. But at that time, these men were so strong in faith, unflinching. And you think, this is how Satan overdoes himself, to cause that king to make that great idol, and then to call together all of those people of, we say, importance, the various rulers and counsellors, or who would be as somebody, all gathered together, a momentous event, and these three godly men refused to bow down to that idol, though everyone else did. They put their whole trust in the Lord, their God. Now the words of the king unto them, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Just reminds me of Pharaoh in the times of the children of Israel being afflicted, when Moses initially came to him. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? I know not the Lord, neither will I let the children of Israel go, neither will I deliver them. Oh, words of brazen man to so rise up against God, thinking this man that he has power. That God is almighty. And what a wonderful display of power the Lord would show through those three men. They were confident. Their confidence was not in themselves. Their confidence was in the Lord their God. He will deliver us. There's no question about it. No ifs and buts and maybes. He will deliver us, but we will not bow down to thine idol. They knew that would be, well, literally idolatry. They knew that would be wrong in the sight of God. How can I do this great evil and sin against God? And they would not, whatever the consequences. Their faith was in the Lord their God. I will deliver thee. Though we don't, as it were, read of it, I'm sure those three men were in much prayer. Their eyes were upon the Lord. I mean, to face such a death, to be cast into that burning fiery furnace. But they looked beyond that. They looked to the Lord. Indeed, they may have had a sweet hope of being taken to heaven. But they knew that the Lord would deliver them, come what may. And then the king's command that they should be cast immediately into that burning fiery furnace that was so severe, so powerful, but it slew those mighty men who cast them in. Whatever those three men considered, imagined, perhaps they thought they would go straight to heaven. And yet, what a sweet surprise for them. In the fire, Jesus himself drew near. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. There they were in the fire with Jesus. Immediately they were delivered from their bonds. You remember that they were bound by those mighty men. And I'm sure they were bound, perhaps by ropes, very, very tightly. And perhaps a fire burnt the ropes, but never touched him. And there they were, talking or listening with the Lord Jesus. Oh, what a precious time that must have been. And sometimes the Lord, in his sovereignty and wisdom and purposes, will permit his people to come into these great troubles. They do not escape them, whether it's affliction, deep distress, these fiery trials. And then he draws near and reveals himself unto them. And oh, they have such a blessing. Oh, they have such a blessed time with the Lord Jesus. A time never to be forgotten. Oh, a time where the Lord Jesus, in a very special way, makes his love known to them. And when they would hear Nebuchadnezzar the king calling them forth out of the fire, himself being astonished, and I'm sure all of those with him, perhaps those three men were rather reluctant to leave Jesus, to go, if you will, back into the world. I'm sure they had divine permission. The Lord says, go. They still had a work to do. They must still continue. Their lives were yet lengthened out. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. As I mentioned earlier, how Satan overdoes himself. Yes, stirring up the king to do this and to have them cast into the fire to destroy them. And all of those witnesses, all of those important people, all of those counsellors and rulers were all witnesses to the power of God, the deliverance of God. Oh, they saw that unflinching faith of those three men in the Lord their God, whom they served alone. And it caused that king to make such a remarkable statement. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. I mean, that king was completely taken aback at the power of the Lord their God and all of those witnesses. Oh, to be a true worshipper of God. And so we have our troubles. And yes, it may well not be that we shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. But oh, whatever our trouble. And to me, that is one of the beauties of this word, one of the ways in which this word is so precious. And we all have our troubles, many troubles, various troubles, perplexing troubles, perhaps not impossibilities in our troubles, but this promise. And call upon me. I just wonder, it may even be a word of reproof to one or another tonight. You haven't been calling upon God. You've been leaning to your own understanding. You've been using your own wisdom, your own logic, your own thoughts. It may be you've been going to man, looking to man. Well, this man will help me. That man will help me. No, the Lord is saying, call upon me. It was many years ago now, in a completely different situation. But somebody said to me, is that all you can do is pray? A different context in my very early days spiritually, and at the time I didn't have the answer. But now dare anyone say that to me, is that all you can do is pray? You think of those three men. You think of this word. Oh, you think of the power of prayer. It's the power of God. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. And though deliverance may appear nigh on impossible, because we cannot see any way out, any way through, any way round, but that's where we need faith to leave it all with God. We all, I'm sure, know the various accounts in Scripture. So as soon as I began reading that chapter, we all knew the outcome. We all knew what would happen. And should we turn to the children of Israel at the Red Sea? Again, we know what happened. We know their deliverance. And Daniel in the lion's den, and Jacob with Esau coming, we know the outcome. But those at that time, they didn't know. They didn't know the future. And you and I, we don't know the future, do we? We don't know. And the troubles in which we are in, these difficulties and problems, and we have no solution but call upon me. You see, the Lord has the answer. The Lord has a solution. It's a wonderful word. Again, if I was to read to you the account of the feeding of 5,000, we know how they were fed. But this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And that's the wonder of it. The Lord is never at a loss to know what to do. The Lord has the answer, the solution. He knows how to deliver. Deliverance to him is but nothing. In a moment, if it be his holy will, he can deliver. I will deliver thee. Oh, the certainty of it. The preciousness of it. I will deliver thee. Coming back to that word in the 2 Corinthians, who hath delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in the present tense, and doth deliver. Yes, with David, who suffered much from King Saul, but the Lord delivered him out of his hand. And the Apostle Paul, at his beginning, so said to Ananias, for I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And he did suffer much, and he himself was persecuted. But all those deliverances, those times of wonderful deliverances, who doth deliver? And in whom we trust, he will yet deliver. He will yet deliver. Or that the Lord is able to deliver. And we may have those even suggesting to us, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? What hope have you that one is able to deliver you? I don't know, I just wonder, but maybe one perhaps in a very difficult situation tonight. And whichever way you look at it, you just cannot see any way of deliverance. It may be things are so tangled. You don't know where to begin. Begin here. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. The children of Israel were guilty, many sins, one of them, of limiting the Holy One of Israel. They couldn't see, especially by the Red Sea, they couldn't see how God could deliver them. Here is work for faith. To believe in God, have faith in God, that the Lord is able to deliver. Then perhaps one is also troubled, but I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving. Why should the Lord deliver me? Well, Jacob may have felt the same when he heard that Esau was coming with 400 men. Deliver me from my brother, for I fear him, coming with a sword, coming in revenge, coming to slay me and call upon me. I think Jacob also needed further teaching there. Yes, initially he made it a matter of prayer, then sought to separate his family into two, that if one part is slain, the other may flee, be delivered in a natural sense. And then, of course, all the droves which he was sent over trying to appease his brother. But know the Lord and have him pray. And we need to cease from man, cease from ourselves in all our planning and scheming. The best way we can deal with it, the Lord will give him that spirit of wrestling prayer. And I read recently, and I do tend to think likewise, that after Jacob had sent over all his family and Jacob was now left alone, then Jacob, as the natural course would be, was to follow his family over that brook to be with them, to defend them that night. But this man prevented him by wrestling with him. So Jacob wanted to go over the brook to be with his family. But this man was preventing him. This man was wrestling with him and giving to him that spirit of wrestling prayer. And perhaps as the dawn just began to break and one could discern another, and by faith, God given faith, Jacob discerning who it was who he was wrestling with, and then putting his joint out of fine, let me go, for the day breaketh, I will not let thee go. Now in a sense that is going again seven times. I will not let thee go. I cannot let thee go. Lord, do not let me go. Oh, help me to continue in prayer, to call upon thee in the day of trouble. And he blessed him there. What a blessing it was, a blessing of the Lord, which maketh rich and added no sorrow therewith. Thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed in prayer. I will deliver thee. I feel sure that as Esau heard that Jacob was coming, and Esau with his armed small army of 400 men had every intention of slaying his brother, and his heart would have been full of hatred and anger and wrath. But through that night, the Lord so dealt with Esau, not in a spiritual sense to renew his heart, but to change it, to take away all that anger and hatred, and to replace it with natural love to his brother. The wonders God alone can do. Do remember this, if it's man causing you this day of trouble, the hearts of all men are in God's hand. The Lord can change them, even in a moment where they're perhaps threatening. The Lord can deal with them. And the Lord can completely change the situation, as he did with Esau. And when Esau came and met his brother Jacob, there was no sword. There was no anger. There was no hatred. Oh, there was that brotherly love. Oh, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Jacob would never forget that time. Perhaps also, years later, when he cried out in anguish, all these things are against me. And it may be like the apostle, you feel to be troubled on every side, spiritually, providentially, in your circumstances, in your pathway, it just seems all these things are against me. Everything seems to be going, oh, it's such a day of trouble. I'm so troubled. And call upon me in the day of trouble. Again, Jacob had to be made submissive to the Lord. He had insisted Benjamin will not go down. He was determined. But in the end, the Lord broke him. Benjamin had to go. He had to let go of Benjamin. He had to put his whole trust in the Lord, his God. And again, I feel sure, perhaps as he watched them going off with Benjamin, not knowing the future. Again, we know what happened. We know all about Joseph and what was happening in Egypt. Jacob didn't. He was in that severe famine. He'd given up Joseph for dead. And now Simeon is bound down in Egypt by that hard man. And now Benjamin must go. And perhaps as he watched them leaving with Benjamin, oh, the dear old man, his tear-stained face fell upon his knees. Oh, I believe he was much in prayer. Oh, praying that if the Lord will, Benjamin might come back, but Simeon also might be released. He was praying that all his sons might return to him, oh, even with corn to keep them alive in that famine. Oh, he is pouring out his heart unto God in prayer, wrestling prayer. Call upon me in the day of trouble. It was the day of Jacob's trouble. He shall be delivered from it. I will deliver thee. Isn't that a lovely word in Ephesians 3 verse 20? How encouraging. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can either ask or think. Oh, what a precious word, according to the power that worketh in us. The power of faith. The power of prayer. The power of God. Jacob would prove that word sometime later, the son's return. What a message I had for him. And it wasn't restricted to Benjamin is back home. Your beloved Benjamin has returned. He is safe and well. It wasn't further restricted to Simeon also has been released and he is here. Indeed, we are all here. And in one sense, all of them. Joseph is yet alive. And Jacob had given up Joseph for dead. Joseph is yet alive. And I believe when Jacob revived and tried to take in that wonderful, amazing news, Joseph is yet alive and he is the governor over Egypt, Jacob would remember the word of God, the dreams that Joseph had had. It all come to pass according to the word of God, the purposes of God. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. What is it to glorify God? Look at the last verse. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Oh, to be brought there, and as the Lord is pleased to deliver, may we truly glorify him, may we truly acknowledge him. Oh, may the Lord bless us with a truly thankful heart for the wonders he alone has done, and call upon me. Oh, may we be found much in prayer. May the day of trouble be sanctified. Sanctified for our spiritual good. Sanctified to cause us to call upon him, to cry mightily unto God. I will call upon God who doeth great things. And this promise. So whatever your day of trouble, whatever your trouble, oh, however many, however deep, however intense, however impossible, may the Lord help you to call upon him. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. And we do not call upon God in vain. We call upon the one true, living, merciful, gracious, faithful, good, kind, prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. For there is no other God that can deliver after this sort, who hath delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and in whom we trust, he will yet deliver. Amen.
As you will have realised, Mr. Jabez Rutt will not be able to come on the coming Lord's Day. He's been very ill in hospital, and we're thankful that he's beginning to recover. God willing, there'll be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Christie will preach in the evening. And on Tuesday evening, Mr. Timothy Pocock. And on Friday evening next week, there'll be a prayer meeting for the church members at 8 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 379. 379. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. Hymn 379.
And now, may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.